This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Yesterday evening, I spoke on restoration, and I spoke on the practical steps to take in order to have restoration. I believe that you guys may not know it, but I can actually teach like Pastor Chris Okote and speak very big English. That even I may not know the meaning. I mean, I can do that. I have some training in hermeneutics, and I could go that route. I could also go the route of another teacher, and I just sound esoteric. I try not to, because all of us are teaching the gospel, but I realize that we will not all catch the same audience. So I like my words to be simple. But what I want from you is to match me aura for aura, energy for energy. That means when I tell you do something, when I show you that this is what to do, I do expect you to come back and ask questions that have already been answered in the class. Just go ahead and do it. That is the response. That is the response that you must have to the word of faith. Whatever it tells you to do, do it. You know, that was what the mother of Jesus told the servants that were at the wedding at the Cana of Galilee. It didn't say, if it tells you to draw water, you go to him and say, but that pot is for water for washing legs. Do you know what you are doing? That pot is for water for washing legs. Why are you telling us that we should put water into it? You are not to give people that kind of an identity water to drink. That wasn't what she told them to do. Said, whatever it tells you to do, do it. Just Christ said we should be like little children. He said, if our faith is like that of little children, he said, we will not struggle with spiritual reality. You will not struggle with hearing from the Lord, speaking in tongues, healing the sick, raising the dead, prophesying, if you will be like a child. A lot of us don't, we are too adults. We are too much of an adult when it comes to spiritual things. As a result of that, we overthink everything. As a result of that, we second guess everything. As a result of that, we think some of the things that God asks us to do are foolish, that they are too foolish for us to do. Elisha told the mother of the children that were about to be taken away into slavery to go borrow pots and then to pour oil into it. Sometimes the things God asks us to do are quite foolish. In my case, some years back, the Lord said to me, that I should go to banks and open bank accounts. In those days when you have to deposit 1,000 naira as the minimum amount of money to open a bank account, the Lord said to me that I should go to banks and open many accounts. And I didn't have money. Even the 1,000 naira that I will use, I didn't have. Plus, I have to take a lot of passports. And it sounded so silly. I don't have... You have to understand, somebody that is not earning so much money, then God tells you, because I was sleeping in Ketua at the time, and then towards that Ikorodu Road, the Ketua aspect of it, there are so many banks on the right and to the left. You see banks on the right and on the left. On Ekwusu Road, you will see banks to the right and left. All of them, different branches of different banks. And they all said to me several times, go to these places, open bank accounts. And around that time, God so good, somebody gave me, I believe, 35,000 naira. I can't remember why, because it was a lady that gave it to me. Can't remember why she gave me the money. But it wasn't deserved. It wasn't like I worked for it. I think person just gave me an envelope because I'm a pastor in church. So I think one of such days, person just gave me an envelope and money at 35,000 naira. So on the Monday, I went and I opened a lot of bank accounts. I did a lot of working. I collected the booklets, I filled whatever, opened it. I did this and it was foolish. But I heard from the Lord. If I tell you how sometimes, out of the blue, I'll just get a certain alert from banks. When I get to the bank, they will tell me the account is redundant. It's happened several times that I have to reactivate it because I opened the account a long time ago. And then I'll be able to access the funds and I'll be able to meet needs. I'm not teaching that to you as something you should do. I'm only trying to make you see that sometimes some of the things God can ask you to do, they will not be that thick, tip top, go and fast for 40 days, somersault, climb the mountain. Remember what Elisha told, what the young slave told Naaman? She said, if he had asked you to bathe in Ephrathah, the river far and other places, wouldn't you do it? If he asked you to do more difficult things, wouldn't you do it? What is the point of your ego when they ask me to do something simple? You think it is beneath you. You think it is beneath you to do simple things. You expect God to give you Almighty Formula or God to give you further mass or 2 pi r square in order to solve your problem. You actually think that you must deserve. Some of us don't know what grace is. We think we must work hard. That working hard thing is in our brain. We want to be able to share testimony and say, I fasted for 420 days. I fasted. I didn't taste water. I didn't taste food. I didn't touch anything. I was just fasting. I remember my sister told me, before she got a job, that she cried until her voice was gone and she almost lost her eyes. She said she went to one church. So after 8 or 9 months of not getting a job, she went to one prayer meeting in one church. Then she sat down there and she cried and cried and cried and cried and cried until her voice was gone, until her eyes was almost blind. And that it was the room in the church that told her, we want to close church, come and be going. And that 2 days later, she got a job. I said, God didn't give you that job. God does not. God is our Father. God is our, do you know who a father is? Because I have children. My children will ask me for things, sometimes outrageous things. Like we have everything at home, and my children will say, Daddy, we want to eat out today. I say, where do you want to eat? They'll mention the restaurant. I say, where you get it? What will you buy? What will you say? I just want to eat their noodles. And I will say, I like to eat their rice. I'm like, we have noodles at home. We have rice at home. You have willing people that are going to cook for you. But this is what you're asking for. They'll say, yeah, just want to change the environment. And you have to understand, I'm very prudent with money. And I will say, okay. Let the devil take you. And I thought the devil take you to go ahead. and I'm not God. I'm their father. He said, what to do? What to do shopping? I said, what do you want to buy? You just want to go to the supermarket and just walk around and do shopping. If you say anything you want to buy, we just want to buy. And I'll say, yeah, let me take you. I mean, I am not God. That's how God treats me. So when people tell me that they suffered so much before God, I said, no, it is not in the labor. You will glory in your own labor and forget about the favor of God. Because when you are sharing your testimony, you will only be talking about your pains. Say, for when God gave me these strings, I suffered 20 years of waiting. I fasted, I fasted, I cried, I cried. So when you are sharing your testimony, it is your pain and your labor that you will glory in. When people are writing the testimony, people can write a whole book of testimony, but when you read it through, you will see that it is their labor and their pain that you are writing about. It is not the favor. The favor of God does not suffer anybody. Ah, yeah. Hey! The blessings of the Lord make it rich. And there has no sorrow to it. Ah, la hey, I'm pampered. I'm telling you, beloved, I'm pampered of the Lord. I don't think there's anything I can want in this world that I have to labor for. His words will come to me early in the morning, instructing me on things to do, on what to expect, or what not to expect. He will tell me far ahead. If I want something, he will say, hey, it's not yet time. It's not yet time. Take your mind off it. When I have a feeling disappointed, I don't. Because I know it's not yet time. And when it is time, if they do 1 million policies against it, I'm telling you, you know, God tore open the doors of Singapore for me. When I say, oh, no foreigner can come, I got a letter from them. Ah, guy, we want you to sit on the board of this particular company. We want you to send this document, send this document, send this document. Send. And I was like, what? And I was just, I didn't even know anybody there. That is God. That is how God works. So I'm just saying, let your heart be like the heart of a little child. The instructions may seem silly to you, but you will find them to be in consonant with the scriptures, to resound the scriptures. That is the truth. A lot of things you learn in church, they are not in consonance with the scriptures. You see that they are drawing out words from the Old Testament, but they are drawing off out all sorts of works and labor. And they are trying to do that so that they can make you go through releasing. Releasing Yoruba means means trouble. They can make you go through releasing so that you appreciate the blessing God gave you, so that you now appreciate the pastor. They will say, if it comes too easy, you will not come and do Thanksgiving. Don't be like that. Restoration part two. That's what I'm teaching on today. Spiritual restoration. One day the Lord showed me a vision. I'm going to share it with you. And then I'm going to show you from scripture that the vision is valid. It's not just one rambling dream. And I think with that you will understand what it means to come back to God when you've missed your step with Him spiritually. When I was a journalist, they were having an investiture. Or a judge somewhere in Ikeja, around that police college. Now, in front of the police college, they had a field where people come to do crusades, a huge field where pastors will come and do crusade. I think they will just pay for a tiny amount of money or whatever, and then they will come there, they will do open air crusades. So the investiture was on a Monday, and the pastor had done open air crusade on that field on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I don't know the pastor. I don't have, in fact, there are so many churches, and I have a blind spot for churches. I just don't see them anymore. That's the truth. Because there are so many. So I just focus on what God has given me to do. So I don't bother who is the pastor of this one, the pastor of that one. That's not my business. However, I wasn't the pastor. I was a pastor at this time. I was also working as a journalist with a firm in Antonio Griffith. So we have to go cover the investiture of this judge for the news. Myself, the driver, and the cameraman were in the car. We drove all the way to that place in Yaba, to that place in Ikeja, that police college. When we got there, we parked. Unfortunately, the investiture had started. So they had closed the gates. Those who are in were in. Those of us who are outside had to remain outside until they open the gate and the judge comes out, which means they are swearing in the judge. They are going to wear a wig for her. She's going to do her oath of office. And when she's done, we that are outside will then take the microphone. I was the reporter. Take the microphone to meet her and ask her questions. How are you today, ma? What does this mean? All the normal English. Then the camera will cover it, we'll package it into a 2 minute SOT sound on track, as we say in the media, and then we give it to the people that will do news at Bell TV, so that they can include it in their news. While we're waiting in the car for them to open that gate, I felt pressed. I needed to ease myself. All around, because they've locked the gate, there was no access to any toilet. So I said, okay, let me run into the bush and do my number one. I stepped out of the car. I stepped into that field where they had done a crusade, and my God, I saw angels, all of them standing. All of them standing. They were not one color. It was like walking into a room of flashing rainbows, different colors, all of them tall, but they were not moving. They were not statues, they were living. You can see that they were living. They were not talking, they were not just today, but they were men on that field. Huh? But it was as if I entered into another world. So I quickly jumped out of that field back to the parking lot, because nothing like that happened in the parking lot. The parking lot is just right by the field. Well, just right by the field. I came out of the parking lot, stepped into that field, and I entered into a totally different world. And then I stepped out. Hey, I was like, what is in my brain? Am I glitching? What's wrong? So by that time, the urine had disappeared. I had lost every sense of my personal discomfort. I stood a bit and looked at that field. I was like, okay, let's try this again. I stepped into the field again. It happened again. As soon as I stepped in, it was as if I entered into a mirage, an atmosphere that is illusory, that people from outside cannot see, but when you step into it, you will see it. Hey, and then I saw them again. These angels, the whole of my head, my whole body was really, I was ringing. I came out of it again. By that time, I began to cry. My eyes were watery. I didn't even know I was crying. But Tears were just pouring out of my soul. My eyes were watery. My body was shaking. I wasn't afraid, but I was stirred inside, stirred, not to fear. I can't even describe what it is to. Maybe it was just knowledge or the beauty or the fact that I was in an atmosphere that I wasn't meant to be in by the flesh. I cannot explain, but I was weeping. I came out of it. I went back to the car. With my hands wrapped around my body, I opened the passenger side. The driver was sitting on the driver's seat. There was a passenger side. The camera was at the back seat. The driver was asleep. Camera was asleep. The camera was a Muslim, not a Christian. The driver was a CAC pastor. His church was at Ikorodu, but he was in the car. The cameraman was a Muslim. As I sat in the car, wondering, puzzled, and wondering what I had seen, the cameraman, the Muslim, he just sat up. He just said, Benya, Mr. Benya. He couldn't speak English to save his life, so the man speaks only Yoruba language. So he said, Mr. Benya, Mr. Benya. Don't let, I'm saying it in English, but he said it in Yoruba. Don't let what you saw puzzle you. Don't let it puzzle you at all. See, when the children of God gather for like a crusade, a place of repentance where they will hear the word of God, their angels come with them. They come, believing that that child of God will repent so that that angel will go with the person home or go with him on his journey or go with him on his destiny. Those angels are the angels of purpose, the angels of destiny for each person. Everybody has an angel that goes with him to fulfill their God-ordained purpose. So, like many of these people don't know, they just live their life. Well, when there is a call for a prayer, a crusade, and the man is a man of God who truly has the Spirit of God, all those angels will come for that meeting. Because angels also receive instructions at Christian gatherings. You know how pastors will say, in the name of Jesus, we declare, go! And then you will see that something has happened at home. The angel has done it. That angels also receive instructions at such meetings. So when the man of God says, oh, I'm doing a three-day crusade, even though people may not come, he's not doing crusade for just men. Angels also are part of the gathering of the saints. So the angels will come, and then people will come. But that after preaching, if those people repent and decide that, oh, from today I'll follow my destiny, the angel will go with them on the journey. But if they don't repent, they will go alone, the angels will stay. For angels will not follow a man into iniquity. Angels are holy and they will obey God. So, for example, if you say, I have an angel that follow me, my angel can never leave me. But when you left the crusade, you are going to sleep with a prostitute, for example. It's only sensible that the angel will not follow you into prostitute house. The angel would see where you are going, and the angel will be like, no, I'm holy. I cannot go with this person to this place. So the angel will leave you to go about your business by yourself. And if you are going from there and you are going to do some other things, maybe you are going to steal or lie or do whatever it may be you want to do, as long as it's not in line with the holy doctrine of God, the angels will not follow you. And yet, this is your angel of purpose, so the angel will stay and let you be. That's how many people get estranged or separated from their guardian angels, because the angels have set rules that they follow. And they follow these rules because they only obey God. But if we are also obedient to God, it will mean we and the angels are working together hand in gloves. That way, the angels and us will work together and achieve purpose. But if we, because we have free will, decide to go against God, then the angels cannot go against God with us. They will not follow us into disobedience. So the angels will stay when we repent. We can continue our journey with them, but as long as we have not repented, whatever we decide to do, we will do. Now, I said I will show you the scriptures to back the vision up. Remember in the book of Genesis 35, when God introduced Israel to his angel, God said, "This angel shall go before you." He said, "Don't grieve him. Don't make him unhappy. Don't get separated from him. Let him lead you." Again, in the book of, I believe, I can't quote the scripture exactly, but it said that when I stray, I became afflicted. So when we stray from the Lord, we become afflicted, which means we are separated from God and become afflicted. When we are with Him in obedience, we come back into focus. So it makes sense to me that the why the angels, why there are so many people who are Christians who would live their life the way they want. And when they are praying, they'll be saying, "Ah, God, send your angel." No, Jesus Christ made it clear. In fact, the scriptures make it clear. Every one of us have our angels. It is not hidden, it is a scriptural fact. How come then some people can easily work with their angels to achieve supernatural results, while some people would only have a life of labor? If you find out from those who have a life of labor, they actually, most of them live in disobedience. So they cannot get the divine help they need. They cannot get the divine purpose they need. They cannot get the divine guidance they need. They cannot get the divine leading they need. As a result of that, they would be in a faraway country. They may have money for a while, but the money will not make them happy. They may have friends, like the prodigal son had friends, but the friends, they will give them pleasure, small pleasure, but eventually the friends will thin out. They may have a job, a career, a business, but eventually they find no joy in it. Eventually, they see themselves, even those who are successful, they see themselves as having achieved so little because there's no satisfaction in their soul. Then they begin to think, "Let me go back to God. Let me go back to God. I must have missed it somewhere." Now, when they come back to God, many people there expect that they will cry and weep and say, "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Please have mercy on me. I will not do so again." That's not true. Take, for example, the case of the prodigal son. Bible said, while the prodigal son was in a strange country, the father didn't go to meet him because the father would not follow him into disobedience. But the father waited on top of the roof every day. The father would be looking at the road, waiting for his son. And then one day the boy came to himself and he said, "Ah, even slaves in my father's house get treated better than this. Why am I suffering here? Why do I allow my ego to make me suffer? Let me go to my dad. Let me volunteer as a houseboy. I know that I've lost the right of sonship, but I will just go home and I will just work for him. I know that I will live a better life than I'm living right now." So he turned around and went home. The Bible said, as soon as the father saw him, the father did not know earthly fathers. When you offend them, I remember myself, I was a very difficult child, and I offend a lot. I offended my parents a lot. When you offend your parents, they expect you to come and apologize, to show remorse. I used to write letters of apology to my dad. I'll read it on the TV. I will have done something. Either I break the glass, or I break a glass cup, or I break a plate, or I did something. I spent my school fees, whatever. I will now write a letter. I've always depended on my wits, that once he sees the letter and how well it was written, that my father would think my school fees, my expenditure on this boy is not wasting. Let me continue to encourage him. He's brilliant. That way, he will then forget my sin and focus on the letter. So I will write the letter well in good handwriting. I'll make sure I proofread it very well. I will then explain what I did, how it happened, how sorry I was, and then I'll wait on the TV and then I'll run to sleep at 8 o'clock. So my child will read it. He will just read it and sleep over it. And then the next morning, he can then call me and say, "I read your letter. Don't do that again. This is what you need. Take the money, and I'll be like, yay, I won. But the prodigal son's father did not behave like that. Bible said, as soon as he saw his son, he fell on his neck. He didn't even demand an apology. When the boy was talking, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. Please, even if it's houseboy, let me do it. The father said, oh, shut up. My son was dead, but now he lives. See? He was lost, but now he's found. It is not in the words of the prodigal son, it is in the nature of the father. When you turn, your destiny is waiting for you. When you turn around like this and you say, okay, I want to retrace my step, your destiny is waiting for you. I give a second example so you can understand it. Bible said Peter denied Jesus 3 times. As a result of that, he was so disappointed himself, he went back into fishing. He was supposed to lead the church, but all the other disciples knew he denied the Lord. He wasn't a secret denier, even though he denied the Lord secretly by himself. But God, Jesus had already told everybody in front when he was there that you will deny me 3 times. Everybody heard. And then the lady came to arrest Jesus. He denied Jesus. And then there was a cock that crowed. And everybody knew he had denied Jesus. As a result of that, he lost confidence in his own leadership ability. He went back to his old work and he couldn't regain the trust of the disciples. In the book of John, I believe chapter 20, thereabout, Jesus Christ then came to the seashore by the Sea of Tiberias and just said, started doing fish, roasting fish. And as he was roasting the fish, Peter was in a boat with John, the other disciple, three of them. And from afar, Peter saw Jesus. Ah! Peter shouted, that's Master! That's Master! And the Bible said, with everything he was wearing, he jumped into the water and began to swim. The others had to paddle the canoe to the shore. So Peter got to Jesus first. When he got to Jesus, Peter sat down. Peter couldn't talk. He had denied Jesus. Jesus had been killed. Jesus had resurrected. Jesus was here now, making fish for them. So they sat down quietly beside Jesus. Peter was waiting for Jesus to say, to speak, to say, I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed in you. You denied me. We ate together. We went everywhere together. You knew that I was going to be beaten. He knew that I would be scourged. I had to depend on Simon of Cyrene to carry my cross for me. But you promised, you said, Peter, you said that you will die with me. You said you will die with me. So what you did, you ran. It was a stranger that helped me carry my cross. If you had waited, wouldn't you have helped me? So that both of us can die together. Was that not your promise? But just didn't say anything like that. Just quietly served them meal, fish that they didn't catch, they were eating free fish. Bread that they didn't produce, they were eating free bread. Jesus fed them as a father would do, even to the most erring son. He will feed you, make sure you have food in your tummy. Just fed them. When they had eaten, it was now evening. They had spent time together, they had played. They had gisted. And yeah, just didn't talk about that particular soft topic. When it was now evening, Jesus Christ turned to Peter. Jesus Christ said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Hi, hi. Hey. Peter said, you know I do. I love you. Just kept quiet. There was silence in that tent. Then, second time, just look at Jesus Christ said, Simon, son of Jonas, Do you love me? Peter said, I do. You have to understand the I do Peter was saying. The I do was saying it was not the normal I do of I want to marry you, will you marry me? No. It was because of the betrayal, because of the denial. Jesus was asking him, do you love me? So the third time Jesus Christ asked the same question, do you love me, Simon? Simon said, you know I do love you. You know. Then Jesus Christ said to him, tend my lamb. That was how it started. It started with the lamb. He said, tend my lamb. And then he said, feed my sheep twice. That was it. That was all of spiritual isolation. Jesus did not give him fasting to do. He didn't give him grass to cut. He didn't give him any manual labor. As soon as he returned, he was accepted because there is no punitive punishment in Christ. You are a son, branded by his blood, a prince of God. He will treat you like that. You may not see yourself like that. You may not treat yourself like that. But he will treat you as he calls you. Who am I talking to today? You are here. You are listening to me. You think that you have lost your way with God. That God cannot forgive you anymore. Maybe you did something terrible. Maybe you killed somebody. Or you slept with somebody you are not supposed to sleep with. Or you had an abortion. Or you even did paternal fraud. Or you took something that doesn't belong to you and you ran. All those things that naturally will be a problem to fellowship because they will become an insulator to the flow of the current of love in your heart. You will just notice that you cannot pray the way you used to pray before because of the guilty conscience. You cannot worship the way you used to worship before. You will notice that, like Peter, you begin to use fire, the earthly carnal fire to warm yourself up rather than the fire of the Holy Spirit that usually warms you in your heart. And you've been trying to find a way back to the Lord. You've gone for deliverance, gone for prayer, and you couldn't tell anybody the truth. Maybe you abandoned the vision God gave you and you traveled abroad. I have a pastor friend like that. Who the older sister said, no, our family cannot suffer. It is the sister. Our family cannot suffer like this. There are seven of us. I'm in America, I'm hustling. Six of you are in Nigeria. I hear the friend of mine told me that there is a place in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, where they do Yahoo. They have resources, and that place is not flagged. They can bring in big money and do credit card for. I'm sponsoring you there. And the sister sent him money, gave him contact. A pastor, youth pastor. And the older sister, their mother's firstborn, sent him money, sent him everything, sent him whatever. He got the visa, he got, and then he flew. He flew to Kuala Lumpur to go and learn how to do foster so that he can make money with the full backing of the sister and the family. Many of us, we allow the little things, like Esau, I'm hungry, I will die of hunger. What is the use of my birthright? We allow the little things to take us away from God's purpose. And at the end of the day, we find ourselves unable to come back to God. We feel terrible in our hearts. We feel disconnected. We feel as if we've stabbed God in the back, or we have betrayed God. We feel God can never forgive, because if somebody did the same to us, we know how we will feel. We know that we will not let it go so easy. We know. Maybe you are here. Somebody offended you. You are born again Christian. Somebody offended you. The offense is so much. You try to make peace, but the person is adamant. And you told yourself there is no point. I'd rather die with this offense. And even though you still pray, you still talk to God, you know in your heart that you are not walking in the full conformity with the desire of God for you. You know that Jesus Christ said that if you have an issue with your brother, you should not even pray. He said you should set your offering down, go and make peace, and then come back to give your offering. That was instruction. Because Jesus knew that we are one body. And if the body begins to fight against itself, the body will soon lose all its ability to defend itself against external aggression. You are here, you are listening to me. And you are thinking, oh, I've lost my way. Oh, God can never find me. The day you turn to the Lord is the day the Lord will take you back. The Lord will not give you any extended punishment. It is so easy to restore yourself to the Lord genuinely. When I hear of people who come to the Lord today, then they will go out tomorrow, they will come to them and say, no, these ones are just playing, they are children. A genuine adult, when he turns back to the Lord, he helps them out of conviction. He is convinced that there is nothing out there for him anymore. And so he turns back. He turns back completely and fully. He turns back completely. He turns back completely and fully to the Lord. And you will notice from him his behavior, his words, his action that he is back. If it's a woman, she will come to the Lord, you will see it that she's back. God loves people that are genuine in their relationship with him. For God does not lie to anybody or deceive anybody. That's why we call him faithful. He is ever consistent. He is the key, constant key. Where he says he will be is where you will meet him. It took 20 years for Jacob to go back to Bethel. Did you not meet God there? He came there the first time he saw God, 29, Genesis. He came back second time, 35, Genesis. God was still waiting there. He didn't go to prayer and God did not show up. No, God showed up. Why? Because God is constant. Those are the people that I'm asking. If you have to forgive anybody, go ahead now and forgive the person. I'm asking that you call the person's name and you say, my husband, I forgive you. A lot of people, it is their marriage that became a problem between them and God. A lot of people. The person you are supposed to love the most became the reason you can no longer pray. Became the reason you can no longer sing songs of joy. Became the reason you are wishing that you are never born. And I know how it feels. I know how it feels. It is those who have not passed through that fire that can laugh at other people's experiences. For some of us, we walk through the shadows of the valley of the shadow of death. So we understand the evil therein, and yet we refuse to fear it. But we know that we have God with us. If there's anything that has caused your relationship with God to become out of sorts, sort it out. Come to yourself. That just like the prodigal son did, come to yourself. Come to yourself. Don't give excuses anymore. And after today, don't write to me saying, yeah, but I mean, I heard your class. But you know, the problem is don't remember. See, he says, your sins I will remember no more. If there's anybody that understands that and benefits the most from it, it is me. It will seem to people sometimes as if it does not feel the weight, as if I'm talking about myself now, does not feel the weight of my actions, or and they are right, I don't. When I do anything that I think is not pleasing to the Lord, I go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, and I move on. I mean it. I'm telling you 100%. I move on. This, because the word of God was clear to me. I said, I've done this. I said, God, I'm sorry. I mean it. I'm not going to be flippant. I'm not taking His grace for granted. But I will not be one of those who will sit with a misdeed and be doing pity party over it. God forbid. I know the truth. The truth has set me free. I'm not one of those people. I do not believe in ungodly remorse. The Bible says godly sorrow brings repentance. After that, you move on. So I've seen people that they will be perpetually sorrowful for. I know someone that was perpetually sorrowful for 13 years, a woman. Came to me for prayers. I said, what did you do? I did something that I know God did not forgive me. I said, what did you do? She said, I cheated on my husband. I said, which year? She said, 1999. And why 2022 at the time at New Covenant Church, Ibadan. I went to do a program with the youth church in December. I said, you slept with somebody in 1999? He said, yes. And he said, God has not forgiven you in 2022. She said, yes. I said, madam, open your eyes. I forgive you. read my lips. I forgive you. God is not holding. You have repented for 13 years and you are still crying. That has become a demonic affliction. God does not hold anybody in perpetual bondage. We are sons. None of us here will hold our own children in perpetual bondage. Your children will offend you. Right there and there, you discipline them. 2 minutes later, you are giving them biscuits. You are giving them lunch. You are the one that will say, hey, just go come and carry your food. That's how you will behave. Come, yeah, come and carry your food now. Stop crying. Is it not you that made me beat you? Is it not you that made me beat you? And did I want to beat you before? I was telling you that you should not do that thing again. I told you, come. I'm sorry. Stop crying. The baby now will not realize that. People will not cry the more. You will not cry the baby. Oh, I'm sorry. Even you too, you can start crying. And this is you. This is you. So when Jesus will teach us about God, Jesus Christ said, which of you would your son ask for fish and you give your son a snake? Or would your son ask for bread and you give your son a stone? He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children. He said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, God, who is infinite in mercy, ever gracious, ever faithful, ever God. So these are the things that religion does not want Christians to understand. Pastors don't teach grace the way they should, maybe because they don't understand it. And Christians are held by guilt and sin perpetually. In fact, I've seen pastors preaching sin. They say, yeah, preach more of sin. Nobody is talking about sin anymore. I say, we shouldn't be talking about sin. We should be talking about righteousness. It is the nature. Sin came with the law. We are no longer under the law, for the law came through Moses. Right? And we are not under Moses. We didn't give our life to Moses. The Bible says grace and truth came through Jesus. So we are children born of grace and truth. And so the sermon of every church should be righteousness, should be grace, should be reconciliation, should be love, should be faith that worketh by love, should be liberty, the freedom that we now have in God, that God is no longer our enemy, God is not angry with us, that God loves us, that God understands that, just that we understand when our little children, when they begin to learn how to walk. This was something God taught me years ago. God said, those early days of my Christian life, they were terrible days. I was one of the one of those Christians that I will determine in my heart that I will do everything right. I wake up before and say, today I will not sin. I will not do anything wrong. I will make up my mind. Then the first thing I will do after that will be a sin. Then I'll be like, ah, why did you lie? If you just promised yourself and you didn't even lie over something important, why can't you just not keep your mouth shut? Then the next day I'll say, today I'm going to live. No, nothing will be wrong. Today I'll do nothing wrong. I get to the dining table, they serve food. I would look to the eye, look to the eye. I see that the one they gave my brother, the meat is bigger than the one. I quickly sweep the meat. I'll finish eating. I will say, oh my God, when will you change this thing? When will you be better? That was my early life as a Christian. I'm talking about myself. It was so terrible that one day I went to the Lord and I said, I don't know how to please you. You are difficult to please. You are hard to please. Because there is no other way. How will I make heaven like this? How will I make heaven like this? And the Lord said to me, look at little children. Are they human beings? I said, yes. Are you sure? I said, yes. Are you sure a baby is a human being? I said, yes. Are you sure a baby is a human being? I said, yes. He said, hey, you are sure a baby is a human being? I said, yes. So when you put a baby down, the baby will on himself. Is he still a human being? I said, yes. The baby will poop on himself. Is he still a human being? I said, yes. A baby will be walking and it will fall. A baby will be crawling on all fours. A baby will be saying, choo, 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 go, 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 ga, 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 ga. Is he still a human being? I said, yes. He said, you are a baby. You are born again, but you are just 1 month born again. So you are a baby in the realities of the spirit. You are a baby. See yourself as a baby. As a baby that is pulling on himself, that is swimming on himself. You are still my son. All those things you are noticing that you are doing, you are a baby. That's why. As you are growing, you begin to drop them. Just be consistent in your work with me. Keep loving me. Keep reading your Bible. Keep working with me. Don't be disappointed in who you are. Don't become stunted. Allow yourself to grow. I said, wow. So I was a baby. Do you know that after some time, all those things, I stopped doing them. I can't even tell when. And it's not because I fasted and prayed. No. I just began to drop them. They were weights. They were just shedding off me. Shedding off me. Shedding off me. Shedding off me. Before I know it, a day came. I realized I can wake up in the morning and stay all day without having to offend anybody, do anything. I will do the things I'm supposed to do. And I don't do it with a special feeling of self-righteousness. It is normal for a Christian to live a life that God has given unto him. So I began to learn my lesson from that. Many of us here are just babies. We have to grow. But you can't say I'm a baby and continue to do the same thing for 10 years. It will show that as a baby, you did not thrive. You are suffering from nepotism. That means you refuse to mature. That's a bad thing. You must mature. You must mature out of all the ills so that you become better and better every day. So we do not preach sin. We preach righteousness. We teach people what they will become. We don't teach them what they have left behind. We teach them the new life. If you go to America, they will teach you their ways in America. They will not teach you your ways in Nigeria, where you come from, if you came from Nigeria. So you have left the world of sin behind. You have come into the realm of righteousness. So we will teach you righteousness. We will teach you reconciliation. We will teach you love. We will teach you grace. We teach you the abiding favor and power of God. And as you embrace it, your life will change. Glory to God. Glory to God. Reconcile your way with God as I begin to round up. Make peace. Make peace. As you do that, welcome back to your purpose and destiny. It is not hard. Don't just relax. Welcome back to it. Once you have said, Lord, I'm sorry. Now I know that there's a purpose for me. I'm aligning myself with that purpose. From today, I'm working with it. Holy Spirit, no matter how far I've gone away from my purpose, I'm back. I'm restored. I'm reconciled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jacob has become Israel again. Glory to God. Jacob has become Israel again. And Israel will walk in purpose as led by the angel of God. I'm reconciled to my angel of purpose. Glory to God. I'm walking with the angel of my destiny. Glory to God. We are working together to achieve great and mighty things. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory. This is my life. This is my destiny. This is the beauty of the gospel. That when I turn, I always turn into the loving arms of my Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. All right, it's time to give our offering. There's an instruction. So we'll give the offering. We'll give it now. It's for the poor. Don't forget. But there's an instruction that tomorrow is the day of Thanksgiving, songs of joy and gladness. Tomorrow. I didn't know why the Lord chose it. But today, as I was praying, the Lord gave me that instruction. So tomorrow, make music in your heart unto the Lord. As you pray in tongues, make your heart merry. Tomorrow is not a day of worry or pain or disappointment or complaint. Tomorrow is a day of thanksgiving, merrymaking, and joy. Please, the angels of the Lord have designated tomorrow to be that day. God has designated it, which means there is something God wants to do with your joy tomorrow. There is something God wants to do with your spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving, even though you have it normally. But tomorrow, lift it up, sing songs of joy, bless the Lord as you drive, as you walk, everything you do, bless the Lord, sing unto Him, listen to music that will bless the Lord, listen to music that will bless His name. Let your heart make merry. Let your heart be in a perpetual state of praise. Just bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. Just bless the Lord. All that is within you, let them praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Ah, chapeto kantesh, rokande, hasete kristia. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that your hands are blessed. I declare that your work, the work that you do, is blessed. I declare by the power of the Holy Spirit that your reconciliation with the Lord shall hasten your footstep into fulfillment of your destiny, that 10 years shall be like 10 days. 20 years away from the Lord shall be like 2 days. Everything will be set back in purpose quickly and with the dynamism of the Holy Spirit. You will find that before you know it, where you are supposed to be, God will take you there. You are not behind your mates. God, the angel has been working, so you just move up and you team up and you level up. Thank you, Father, for your word is faithful. Thank you because your church is blessed. This assembly is highly blessed. Glory be to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
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 We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.